When you open up a search engine or, type a prompt into an image generator, you probably think you're just asking a machine to compute some data.
Right. It feels completely neutral.
Exactly. I mean, you type in a few words and you expect the machine to just show you the world exactly as it is.
Yeah, you expect facts.
But what you're actually doing in that exact moment is forcing an algorithm to make this really profound ethical choice on your behalf.
Which is wild to think about.
It is. So today's deep dive is looking at a graduate-level academic lecture on AI ethics. And our mission here is to explore the severe friction between abstract philosophical values and binary algorithmic execution.
Because algorithms don't just compute data anymore. They act as arbiters of truth.
Right.
And that is the central conflict here. It's
Yeah.
about how you and I, as humans, experience a value like fairness versus how we're forced to define it technically for a machine.
Because, I mean, think about human interaction, right? A human can compromise.
Exactly. We understand nuance and context and, all the gray areas of a complicated situation.
But an algorithm is just, it's rigid.
It's purely mathematical instruction.
Right.
You cannot program a vague sense of justice into silicon chips. You have to translate thousands of years of moral philosophy into definitive syntax.
And we experience algorithmic bias in a really visceral way. For example, we see an AI image analyzer working flawlessly for one skin color,
While
but.
completely failing to recognize another.
Right. And when you experience that or read about it, the immediate human reaction is that it feels fundamentally unfair.
It feels like a violation.
Yeah. But to actually fix that in the code, computer scientists have to formally define what fairness even means.
Which is incredibly hard.
It is. So they often reach all the way back to Aristotle's ancient axiom. And in the source material we're looking at, Aristotle defined fairness as treating equals equally and unequals unequally within a specific decision domain.
Which sounds incredibly abstract until you are the engineer who's forced to write the actual code.
Right.
So let's apply this to a high-stakes real-world environment, like hiring. In hiring, you have a specific decision domain. Choosing one person for a job inherently means rejecting everyone else. So you are fundamentally treating unequals unequally based on their background metrics, their
Your
experience.
education, yeah.
Exactly. The algorithmic dilemma is deciding exactly which metrics are fair to weigh and how heavily to weigh them.
And a perfect example of how this breaks down in the real world is the Compass algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know, this was a risk assessment tool used extensively by judges in the criminal justice system. It was used to predict criminal behavior and the likelihood of recidivism.
Basically, whether someone would commit a crime again.
Right. The algorithm ingested this massive amount of data about a defendant to spit out a risk score from 1 to 10. But when investigative journalists at ProPublica actually audited the results, they found something deeply disturbing.
It was a massive failure of fairness.
It really was. The algorithm was falsely flagging black defendants as future criminals at almost twice the rate as white defendants. And on the flip side, white defendants who went on to commit future crimes were assigned low-risk scores far more often than black defendants.
Yeah, and what is truly fascinating about that Compass fallout is the absolute zero-sum game that emerges when you try to apply Aristotle's axiom to fix a predictive algorithm like that.
A zero-sum game meaning.
Meaning, there is a stark mathematical trade-off
Yeah.
between algorithmic fairness and privacy.
Oh, wow.
They are an irreconcilable dilemma. Think of it this way. To ensure the algorithm doesn't accidentally discriminate against a minority applicant or a defendant from a specific background, it needs to deeply understand their context.
Right, it needs the full picture.
Exactly. It needs to know their zip code, their socioeconomic status, their family history, so it can appropriately adjust its weights and equalize the error rates.
So to achieve perfect algorithmic fairness, you essentially have to mandate perfect surveillance.
Precisely. To be perfectly fair, to treat unequals unequally with perfect mathematical precision, the algorithm demands total access to a person's life.
So you really have to choose.
You do. The ethical goods cannibalize each other in the code. You mathematically cannot maximize both fairness and privacy in these predictive models. You cannot protect a user's data while simultaneously demanding the system perfectly account for all their historical disadvantages. The algorithm forces you to pick your priority.
And that tension completely changes how we experience the internet. Because when we move from predictive algorithms like Compass to how a basic search engine simply shows us reality, we hit this massive dichotomy,
right?
Distributive fairness versus representational fairness.
And this is where the engineering gets incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
Because these two definitions of fairness are often at war with each other.
So let's break those down.
Sure. Distributive fairness is the statistical, empirical reality of a situation. It is the raw, unvarnished data of who actually holds a certain job or exists in a certain space.
Okay, and representational fairness.
That is how that job is portrayed. It asks whether the depiction of that role appears accessible to everyone viewing it, regardless of what the underlying statistics actually say.
There's a brilliant, if somewhat bleak, case study on this from the lecture. Back in 2018, a user went to Google image search and simply typed the letters CEO.
Yeah.
They weren't asking a complex sociological question. They just wanted generic pictures of chief executive officers. But the screen that populated was almost entirely white men.
Because the algorithm was functioning purely on distributive fairness.
Right.
Yeah. It scraped the internet. It looked at the CEOs of the Fortune 500, the 500 biggest companies in the world, and it accurately reflected the statistical reality of the world at that exact time.
Which was mostly white men.
Exactly. The distribution of those executive jobs was overwhelmingly held by white men. The algorithm was not lying.
But if you look closely at that 2018 search result, there's this darkly ironic detail that the source points out. There was exactly one female representation on the entire screen,
mm-hmm.
and it was relegated to the very lower right-hand corner. And it wasn't even a human being, it was a Barbie doll.
A CEO Barbie doll.
Right. So if you're a young girl wondering if you can run a Fortune 500 company, the algorithm effectively said no, but here's a plastic toy in the corner.
It is a striking detail.
Yeah.
And it perfectly encapsulates the teleological dilemma facing AI engineers.
Teleological meaning what exactly for the listener?
Teleology is a philosophical framework that focuses entirely on the outcomes or the consequences of an action. From a purely mechanical standpoint, the AI was not maliciously coded to exclude women. It just accurately reflected the distributive reality of the corporate world.
Right.
But from a teleological perspective, you have to consider the outcome for that 6-year-old girl using that search engine to find out what a CEO is.
Because the algorithm technically tells the truth, but representationally, it sends a crushing exclusionary message to that 6-year-old that this job is exclusively for white men.
Exactly. The impression left on the receiver, the user, is the only thing representational fairness cares about. If you subscribe to representational fairness, the idea that fairness should operate on the level of how things appear and what opportunities they project, then the raw distributive truth of the Fortune 500 is actually an ethical failure.
So you can't just passively reflect the data?
Right. You have to actively intervene.
And Google did intervene. Which brings us to the boundary problem of infinite diversity.
Yeah, this is where it gets messy.
To solve that 2018 problem, Google implemented a mechanical solution. They artificially jammed diverse representations of race and gender into the search results. They actively skewed the visual output so that minorities and women were represented on the screen at a rate far greater than their actual proportion in the CEO population.
They overcorrected to ensure that anyone, regardless of race or gender, could see themselves in that role.
Which sounds like a noble fix.
It does. But this introduces a severe practical problem for AI engineers. If representational fairness requires everyone to see themselves on the screen, the algorithm immediately hits a wall.
Because where do you stop? If you mandate that race and gender must be artificially elevated to achieve representational fairness, what about age?
Right.
The source points out that the visual skew of actual CEOs leans heavily toward older individuals. But you have figures like Sam Altman running OpenAI, who is quite young. Should young people demand representational fairness in the CEO search?
And it extends endlessly. What about religion? Should the algorithm be manually coded to ensure the inclusion of Islamic garb in a generic search for a corporate executive?
What about physical disabilities?
Exactly. The slippery slope of representation is a literal engineering constraint.
Mm.
At a certain point, there is quite literally not enough physical room on a computer screen to include one representative of every possible human subgroup.
It's a hard physical limit. You have a grid of maybe 20 images on a screen. You cannot include a picture of everyone. So who gets in, who is left out, and why?
And the moment you move away from raw distributive data and start artificially curating representation, you are forced to draw lines that will inevitably be arbitrary to someone. And that arbitrary curation is entirely in the hands of the tech company. They are sitting in a conference room, deciding which subgroups merit representational fairness and which do not. This is no longer computer science. It is social engineering executed through search algorithms.
And that exact problem where to draw the line is exactly what blew up in Google's face last year with the disastrous launch of their Gemini image generation tool.
Yeah, that was huge.
This is where the logic of representational fairness was taken to its absolute inescapable extreme.
The Gemini collapse is a masterclass in what happens when a singular ethical framework is applied without boundaries. Google was so determined to honor representational fairness to ensure diversity was present in every single output that they ended up generating jarring, absurd historical inaccuracies.
The specific examples detailed in the lecture are just staggering. Users asked for images of a Viking, expecting historically accurate depictions of light-skinned individuals from Northern Europe. Gemini generated African Vikings. Users asked for images of the Pope and received depictions of Indian or Black popes. When prompted for American founding fathers, the AI generated people of Asian descent.
The algorithm was working overtime to ensure an 8th century Viking raiding party met modern corporate HR diversity quotas.
It's almost funny on its face.
It is humorous on its face, but it raises an incredibly important question, elevating the discussion to the level of graduate philosophy. Deontology versus teleology.
Okay, lay that out for us.
Deontology is the ethical framework concerned with strict duties and rules. For instance, the absolute duty to tell the truth.
No matter the outcome.
Right. Teleology, as we discussed earlier, is concerned with outcomes and maximizing social utility. Google made a conscious ethical calculation that representational fairness, the outcome of an inclusive reality, was a higher virtue than historical truth.
Because when you ask an image generator for a picture of the founding fathers, you aren't thinking about 18th century deontology. You just want a picture of George Washington.
Exactly.
But the code running on your phone is actively weighing a philosophical duty. Google essentially chose to deliberately mislead users about basic history. They actively manufactured an inclusive reality that never existed.
Google essentially argued that they would rather be dishonest to their users than be representationally unfair. They looked at the choice between treating their users unfairly by only showing white males as founding fathers and lying to their users. And they decided that lying was the acceptable ethical cost.
This is explicitly a clash between fairness and dignity. The dignity argument insists on treating users as rational, autonomous creatures. And if you treat someone as a dignified, rational creature, it means you never lie to them. You trust them to handle reality.
The unvarnished truth is that the American founding fathers were entirely white males. Presenting that truth is representationally exclusionary. To modern diverse populations, it is technically unfair in the representational sense because it projects a historical reality where only white men hold that foundational power.
Right.
But presenting that raw truth honors the user's dignity.
And Google actively chose fairness. They decided that protecting the user from an exclusionary history was more important than respecting their dignity with the truth.
It is a profound ethical stance. By prioritizing fairness, you subtract from your user's dignity. By prioritizing dignity, you accept unfairness. There is no middle ground when an image generator is forced to output a single set of pixels.
We've been talking a lot about blatant image generation, but this exact same binary friction happens in the subtle processing of language.
Yes, linguistic algorithms.
Let's look at the translation case study. Take the AI translation of the English word nurse into gendered romance languages, such as Italian and Spanish.
Right, because in English, nurse is entirely gender neutral.
Exactly. But when you ask an AI to translate it into Italian or Spanish, the algorithm is forced to assign a gender. It cannot remain neutral. It has to output either the masculine or feminine version of the noun.
So we return to the core dilemma. Do you code the algorithm to reflect distributive reality or representational fairness?
Because statistically, most nurses in Italian hospitals are female.
Right. If the engineer codes the algorithm to rely on the distributive statistical reality, it will translate nurse into the feminine form the vast majority of the time.
But if you are an advocate for representational fairness, that statistical reality is a massive problem. Translating it purely in the feminine actively reinforces a gender stereotype every single time a user queries the translation app.
Precisely. A representational advocate would force the algorithm to model an idealized world. They might mandate a strict 50-50 split in the code. Half the time the AI translates nurse as female, half the time it translates it as male.
modeling a world where both men and women are equally shown to aspire to the profession.
Exactly.
But again, this emphasizes the incredible burden of the code. The AI cannot opt out. Whatever rule the engineer types into that translation system instantly becomes the codified reality for millions of users trying to communicate across languages.
It's a huge responsibility.
It really is. If the engineer decides on a 50-50 split, they are actively changing how a language is learned and spoken by the public.
The engineer is not just translating words. They are defining the social structure of the translated language. They are deciding whether to reflect the world as it statistically is or as they believe it ethically ought to be.
Which really brings us to a synthesis of everything we've covered today. We no longer live in a world where ethical dilemmas can be resolved with vague human compromises. Artificial intelligence forces us to hard code our philosophical choices into binary.
That is the ultimate takeaway here. Aristotle's definitions of equals and unequals, the tension between distributive statistics and representational ideals, the friction between the duty of truth and the utility of inclusion.
These aren't just seminar toppers for graduate students anymore.
Not at all. Every time you open a search engine, use a predictive algorithm, or type into an AI translator, you are interacting with a rigid ethical triage. The machine has already decided which values to prioritize and which to sacrifice.
It is a really sobering reality. You are navigating a world curated by someone else's ethical math. But as AI models become increasingly decentralized, we are rapidly approaching a new frontier.
We are. What happens when open source AI allows you to set your own ethical dials? Imagine a future, which really isn't far off, where you can toggle a slider on your phone between brutal distributive truth and idealized representational fairness.
So we just end up living in completely fractured, custom-built ethical realities.
Essentially, yes. If your AI refuses to lie to you, but your neighbor's AI is coded to prioritize a utopian inclusivity, are you even experiencing the same world anymore?
That is heavy. So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you, the listener, with this exact thought to mull over. As we hand over the keys to these algorithms and you rely on an algorithm to show you the world, which ethical good do you demand it prioritize?
The unvarnished exclusionary truth that respects your individual dignity.
Or a manufactured inclusive reality that champions social well-being and representational fairness.